Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In this last chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he mentions a number of practical matters concerning the ministry and then gives his closing greeting and benediction. Let's begin by reading the first four verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, with some background notes. In the last verse of 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul exhorted the Corinthian Christians to abound in the work of the Lord. Let's read that verse again. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it's a great verse to memorize. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Now, if ever there was a Christian servant who practiced what he preached, it was the Apostle Paul. He abounded in the work of the Lord. And if you don't believe that, read 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In this closing chapter of the letter, it's hard to miss the fact that Paul was very much occupied with the work of the Lord. And what was true of his involvement in the church at Corinth was also true for the rest of the churches that he founded and visited. So Paul was certainly abounding in the work of the Lord. Here in 1 Corinthians 16, we see seven areas of involvement on the part of the Apostle Paul in his abounding work for the Lord. All servants of the Lord, and that includes every committed Christian, will be involved in these same seven areas. This is the way to abound in the work of the Lord. And that brings us then to our doctrinal point for this chapter. We have one doctrinal point with seven subpoints. Our doctrinal point for 1 Corinthians 16 is the Lord's servants should abound in the work of the Lord. The Lord's servants should abound in the work of the Lord. Now, under this doctrinal point, we have seven subpoints, which are the seven areas of Christian service mentioned here in which we should all be involved. Number one. Put aside as the Lord prospers. Put aside as the Lord prospers. Verses 1 through 4. In his travels, Paul was taking up a collection for the needy saints in Jerusalem, and he intended to have several of the brethren take the money there to these needy saints in Jerusalem. By the way, it's always wise when handling money to have more than one believer involved for accountability's sake, etc. If you are abounding in the work of the Lord, you are going to be giving your own money to the Lord and encouraging others to give. How much? As the Lord prospers, and I would say from the rest of the Bible, at least a tithe of your gross income. How often? Regularly. Here the Christians are exhorted to give weekly when they met together on the first day of the week. Put aside as the Lord prospers. Number two. Plan ahead as the Lord wills. Plan ahead as the Lord wills. Verses 5 through 9. Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, or I am passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Plan ahead as the Lord wills. As a committed Christian, it's not wrong to plan ahead. In fact, goal setting in the work of the Lord is scriptural. However, all plans should be subject to the Lord's will and therefore flexible. We know from 2 Corinthians that Paul had to change the plans that he intended here because of the Lord's redirection. But it wasn't wrong for Paul to plan ahead. Paul did not just sit around waiting for a special sign from heaven. He used his common sense in view of the need and situation and planned out his future itinerary, subject to the Lord's will. And so should we. Plan ahead as the Lord wills. Number three, pave the way for other servants. Pave the way for other servants. Verses 10 through 12. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Pave the way for other servants. Paul not only mentioned that Timothy and Apollos were coming to Corinth, but he paved the way for them by commending them. As we study the character of Timothy in the New Testament, we find that Timothy was not the upfront, go-get-em, bold type like the Apostle Paul, but tended to be timid and unassuming. This is why Paul paves the way for Timothy here by telling the Corinthians not to let Timothy be afraid, verse 10, and not to despise his unassuming attitude, verse 11. In reference to Apollos, the eloquent preacher, notice how even the Apostle Paul did not dictate what Apollos should or shouldn't do. He just paved the way for Apollos with commendation. And we should do the same. What a blessing it is for me, for example, to preach to a group of believers where I'm heartily received because the way has been paved for me by the commendation of other believers. Pave the way for other servants. Number four, prepare the saints for battle. Prepare the saints for battle, verses 13 and 14. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Prepare the saints for battle. We're not playing games. We're involved in spiritual warfare. There's always the danger of false teaching from within and attack from without. We need to encourage one another to be alert. Don't give up one inch of the truth. As Jude verse 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith. Jude 3. Did you realize that love, verse 14, is part of our armor for spiritual battle? See verse 14 there in this context? Let all that you do be done with love. Love really is part of our armor for spiritual battle. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 says, put on the breastplate of faith and love. Prepare the saints for battle. Number five, praise the good works of others. Praise the good works of others. Verses 15 through 18. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. Praise the good works of others. Intrinsic to abounding in the work of the Lord is recognizing and commending fellow believers who are also abounding in the work of the Lord. Here Paul commends the work of three men, Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. It would seem that they were elders in the church at Corinth because Paul tells the Corinthians in verse 16 to be subject to these men. Stephanas and his family and the servants of his household were the first Christians of Achaia, where Athens and Corinth were located. These three men are commended for their labors and concern for the care of other believers, including Paul, who praises these good works. We should do the same. When fellow believers are doing a good job for the Lord, tell them so and tell others. Praise the good works of others. Number six, pass on the greetings of the family. Pass on the greetings of the family. Verses 19 through 21. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The salutation with my own hand, Paul's. Priscilla and Aquila were well known to the Corinthian Christians because Paul had met them at Corinth on his second missionary journey. Paul joined them, remember, in making tents because they were of the same trade. Priscilla and Aquila moved to Ephesus, where Paul was now writing from, and they send back their greetings to the Christians at Corinth, along with the greetings from the church that was meeting in their home. By the way, there were no church buildings in those days. Church buildings didn't come in until the 4th century. In verse 20, we read, "All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss." The church is not only the body of Christ. It is the family of God. We are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that should be the context of greeting one another with a holy kiss. As you would greet the members of your own family with a show of love and affection, that's the way it should be in God's family. In verse 21, Paul sends his own personal greeting to the Corinthians by writing it himself, rather than dictating it as he did for the rest of the letter. As Paul was a channel for the flow of greetings to fellow believers, so too should we be greeting channels. Pass on the greetings of the family. And number 7, pray in line with Scripture. Pray in line with Scripture. Verses 22 through 24. "If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." In these closing verses of benediction, Paul not only sends his love in Christ and prays that the grace of the Lord would be with the Corinthians, but he prays some pretty strong language in reference to the unbelievers. "If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed or anathema or damned." Maranatha, or O Lord, come. Now, did you ever pray a prayer like that? This kind of praying is right in line with the so-called cursing or imprecatory Psalms of the Old Testament. The point here is not that you don't want unbelievers to get saved. No, you want them to be saved. But for those who will not turn to the Lord, you want the righteousness of God upheld and vindicated by the judgment of those who do not love the Lord and those who hate God's standards. Let's pray in line with Scripture. In this last chapter of 1 Corinthians, we've seen 7 areas where the Lord's servants should abound in the work of the Lord. Now, what about more practical application from this last chapter of 1 Corinthians? When the door opens wide, expect opposition inside. When the door opens wide, expect opposition inside. Paul said in verse 9, that a great and effective door has opened to me, but there are many adversaries. Now, you can read about that open door for ministry at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. There we also read about many forms of opposition, both human and demonic. Well, we too can expect opposition when God opens doors of opportunity. The enemy gets active when he sees believers taking advantage of open doors for Christian service. When the door opens wide, expect opposition inside.